Okay, we're going to start with a Rashi. Parshas Noach, chapter 9. Let's get to chapter 9 here. Beginning of chapter 9. So 9, is that, no, I got it wrong. That's what it says. Cover this beginning out again. Yes, okay. Here it goes. Ready? Parshas Noach, chapter 9. The first words of Pasuk Aleph say, Hashem blessed Noach and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. And then we have a few other words we're going to skip. Go to the end of the paragraph. Whoever sees, sheds blood of the man by man, shall blood be shed. Next one, and you shall be fruitful and multiply. And multiply. Team on the earth and multiply on it. So here we have in this one paragraph, we have a God saying, be fruitful and multiply in some form. Twice, and then multiply a third time. Again, in verse 1, be fruitful and multiply. We'll do it in Hebrew as well. Then in Pasuk Zion, again it says, so obviously, right away, starting the new year, learning Rashi, Rashi on Pasuk Zion. I don't know if Oscar says it, but we're going to do the Hebrew right now. Pasuk Zion, left side, at the Pruvu. The Fib Shutai, according to the simple interpretation, Harishaina, the first of these two psakim, which means Pasuk Aleph, the first word, Puruvu, Libracha, is for a blessing. When it says, Hashem blessed Noah, be fruitful and multiply, in verse 1, it means a blessing, literally a blessing. That's fine. And it says, Rashi says here in Ksuvah, it's not Rashi, but I am Ksuvah, hey, because the Gemara says there that how do you know there's blessings to have children? And of course, it's possible. Dekan, Pasuk Zion, 7 psakim later, Litzivui, and you see quotes from the Sanhedrin. So if I have to ask you, we have one of the 613 obligations. One of the 613 mitzvahs is to have children. Where is the source, according to Rashi? We have two things right in front of us. It says, God blessed Noach, be fruitful and multiply. Rashi says, no, that's a blessing. But when it says, number 9, and you be fruitful and multiply, that's a command form. Pasuk Zion is the command. Pasuk Aleph is the bracha. If you read Chumash Rashi, it'll be beautiful. Because Rashi's quoting two Gemaras to prove himself, as he does. If you have the Hebrew, let's speak to the Rishon of the Bracha, Ayin Ksubis. Rashi's quoting Gemara and Ksubis, where it says that those words are a blessing. The Kandat Tziboy. Rashi quotes another Gemara and says, oh, look at that Gemara. It's a Tziboy. Two Psukim, Kan Tziboy, Kan Bracha. If we get home right now, we'd be great and we'd be totally ignorant fools. Can I say that, Charles? Ignorant fools. Because there's a sefer we discussed many times in this class, Michael, called Sefer HaChinuch, anonymously written in the 1300s. And there he has a list of the 613 commandments in the order of the parshios. We said the 613. Once you have the 613, which is debate, now how do you want to list them? The Rambam has his order. And the Sefer HaChinuch wrote it to his child. Instead of playing ball on Shabbos, learn a little Chumash. And he did it in the order of the parshios. And even though we don't have a Sefer HaChinuch right here in front of me, Sefer HaChinuch in the first mitzvah of the 613 commandments is the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply, puruvu. And where does he quote it from? Where does Sefer HaChinuch quote it from? We got to go back. We're right now on page 41, paragraph 9. We got to go back. Gracious. It's in Perek Aleph, Pasuk 28, which is on page 9. Page 9 in the article says, God bless them. Very similar phraseology. And God said to them, what are the next words? Be fruitful and multiply. Pru uruvu. So right now we have, we're keeping count, three times that it says pruvu. Once to Adam Arishan, twice to Noach. We have Rashi only discussing Noach, saying the first one's blessing, second one's commandment. And we have a Sefer HaChinuch, not discussing Noach at all, he just gave you a list, who quotes the mitzvah from Adam Arishan. The Adam is the command. And we said ourselves 5 minutes ago that Rashi quotes two Gemaras to back him up. Two Gemaras to back him up. He has Gemara and Ksuvah that says the first one's a blessing. Okay. Sefer HaChinuch can say, yeah, that's a blessing. I agree with that one. But the second one, Pasuk Zion, where he quotes Gemara Sanhedrin that said that's a command, Sefer HaChinuch missed the Gemara Sanhedrin. I mean, seriously? No. We got a problem. We got a problem. What is the source for this question? Now I'm going to read you. A Mishnah. A Mishnah first, and a Gemara. Depend on the timing, maybe a Tosfos, and a Marsha. This is, it's the source of the mitzvah, but it's major lumps. So I'm reading you a Mishnah. The Mishnah has a debate. A man is commanded in the mitzvah of Puruvu. Everyone in this room, this is Yevamos 65b. A man is obligated in the mitzvah of Puruvu. What he's implying, and he says the next words, not a female. Women are not obligated in Puruvu. Do you remember Chaskel? Do you remember the famous Meshach Chachma we once discussed? You loved it. We'll get back to remind Meshach Chachma. He loved it when I told him. But not a woman. Men are obligated. Women are not obligated. Puruvu. Women are obligated a lot of mitzvahs. I mean, they are obligated in most mitzvahs, but Puruvu they're not obligated. But Yechon and Mebreika, he says, no, you're wrong. He says both of them are obligated. How do you know both of them are obligated? Because he quotes a pasuk that says Puru Urevu, which is the pasuk in Bereishis. How do you know? 11. A11. Genesis 1:28. The Mishnah has a debate. Men and women. One rabbi doesn't say it. He just says women are not obligated. No source. Pay attention. No source. Second one says, no, women are obligated because the phrase in Adam, Peru or Vu, is written in plural. Peru is a plural form. Could have said Pura, but hey, that would be singular. The word would evolve at the end of a word evolve means plural. Because I'll tell you what plural means. Men and women. And who obligates. What's becoming the obvious question? The obvious question is going to be, okay, rabbi who says women are not obligated, you got a pasuk by other rishon that says plural, men and women. What are you going to do with that? Tomorrow, right away, ask the question. Minol immediately. How do you know what's going on over here? Osco. Where is this dude? Here goes. So how do you know now that women are not obligated? We have a pasuk that maybe says men are. Women are. We know women are not. Gemara gives two answers. First one, Rabbi Eloi will give an answer number one, so we don't remember the name. First explanation is because when it says by Adam, we didn't read the whole pasuk before, we played games, it says, Pruvu, be fruitful and multiply to Adam. What are the next words? Umilu esa'aretz v'kishua. Fill the earth, humans, and subdue it. Conquer the world, man from man, mankind over animal. So he says, listen, when it says, who is conquerors, especially back then? Males are conquerors. Males are conquerors. Women aren't conquerors. So when the pasuk says, multiply the word and conquer it, oh, and conquer meant men, Puruvu meant men. So how do you know men, not women? That means they're arguing on the same pasuk. According to this first answer, the two rabbis debating the same pasuk. The first one says, Puruvu is a plurality, therefore men and women. And the other one says, no, it's men only. It's a plural, yeah, because it does say plural, but the next words say men, not women, because it's talking about capturing.
Talking about?
Capturing the world. Sure. So, conquering the world. That's the first approach in the law. Second approach, which would be a problem, says, I'll tell you why. I have another pasuk. It says, by Yaakov, singularly, pray or obey. So since by Yaakov, God tells Yaakov, pray or obey singularly, it's men, not women. So now we have a very recap. This is a real long time. We don't have a Gemara in front of us. One rabbi says, women are not obligated. Why are the women not obligated? He has two potential sources. Either by Jacob, by Yaakov, later on it says it singularly, or by Adam, it says a plural, but since it talks about conquering, it means single. The other rabbi says, no, women are obligated because we go to Adam, and Adam says a plural. I don't know about conquering. If it's plural, we go with men and women. The debate of men and women. So it's a double debate. Let's get this straight. The Mishnah debates, are women obligated or they're not obligated? If women are not obligated, a question with the sources. Is the source from the plural verse, but the conquering gets rid of it? Or is it from the singular verse by Jacob himself? That's what we have so far. Now the problem is, this whole Mishnah, this whole Gemara, is completely ignoring Noach. The whole thing is debate. How do we read by Adam? Adam's plural, Adam's plural, but it has a conquering aspect. We can debate it all day. Nowhere in this entire page does it mention our parsha, our verse that talks to Noach and says Noach. And by the way, I told you before Rashi quotes a place to Noach. That Gemara, I brought up Gemara, Sanhedrin 59b, talks about the source for the seven Noach laws, which we know what they are here. Where's the source for the seven Noach laws? And on top of the page, it says, okay, let's go through them. Puruvu, how do you know B'nei Noach Puruvu? Quotes the pasuk of this week's parsha, which was Rashi quoted. We don't have now an argument between Rashi this week's parasha is saying we are the source. And the Sefer Chinuch Hananim is saying last week's parasha is the source. We have Gemaras that seem to conflict each other. The Gemara here talking about non-Jews being obligated in all seven mitzvahs, talking about the obligation of Ruvu, only mentions Noach. And the Gemara in Yevamos only mentions Adam. Very strange. The Mizrahi, early commentator on Rashi, mind-blowing, you're not going to get this too often. What you're about to hear from me, you've never heard me say, rare that anyone ever says this. Extremely rare. And you go into most yeshivas and talmuds and say, it can't be someone says this. Mizrahi, he's bigger than all of us, by far. He says we have an argument between the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Mishnah, which is what we're discussing here, where the argument in the Mishnah is, are women obligated or not? And the Gemara is defining the Mishnah of the source of the Mishnah. Yeah, because the Mishnah is only discussing Adam, because the Mishnah held that Adam is the source. The Gemara over here is going to hold, no. Gemara argues. Gemara is 500 years later, 300 years later. The Gemara says, no, the source is going to be the Sifat Parshanayach. Rashi's quoting the Gemara, and the Sefer Chinuch is quoting the Mishnah. We stopped here. So we start, let's go recap. We started with a Rashi. We thought we were intelligent. Because Rashi's pointing out that twice it says about Noach. Rashi, oh, no, you can't have two psukim say the same thing. So one's a blessing and one's a mitzvah. In Perek Tes, chapter 9, we stopped there. We felt we were smart. And we said, wait a second. They got to say, I'm kind of quoting a pasuk in Bereishis. Just said, Rashi quoted Gemaras. Oh, yeah. Sefer Chinuch has a mission. Yeah, so now we have, instead, we just moved up the argument. Instead of being in the 1100s between Rashi and the Sefer Chinuch, we moved it up to Mishnah Gemara. Does that make sense? Mizrahi said, yeah, who cares? Yeah, but it makes sense. Who cares if they argue with each other? Mishnah versus Gemara. But we have now a very fundamental thing going on here. So we're going to have to answer for ourselves what everyone's, as we like to do here, crisscrossing the psukim. You can have the Mishnah say what it wants, but there is a pasuk. No one's denying what the Torah says. So we got to figure out now, what is the people who think, the Mishnah people, who say it's the Mishnah, from Adam, from Adam, what are they going to do with Noach Sukkim? And reverse, what are the people who are going to discuss Noach Sukkim going to do with Bereshit, with others possible? You can't have, it's unlikely to say, that three times the Gemara was commanding the same thing. The Chumash commanded the same thing. And it's unlikely, because we know there is a mitzvah, to use all three and say they're all blessings. I mean, it's nice to get a lot of blessings, but that's a lot of blessings. And it would be odd, if you're learning it from Adam, let's go like this. If you're learning it from Adam, why the two psukim by Noach? God blesses Noach, two blessings back to back. Rashi avoided. He said the first one's blessing, second one's commandment. But if you're going to do them both, it's a little strange. This is the basic setup we have right here. What is the source for the mitzvah on men or and women? Depends what you look like. What is the source? And now we are adding on, what's everyone else going to do to the other source? So the Meshech Chachma, just to come back to it. Because, as we've said many times, the Meshech Chachma is always a little bit outside the box of originality. This is something I've quoted that Chaska loved. The Meshech Chachma says, a new game. The difference in where the source is going to be, are women obligated or not? And I'll tell you why. He said, because when God's speaking to Adam and telling them, be fruitful and multiply and take over the world, at that point in time, where were we holding, historically speaking, on the spiritual greatness of Adam and Chava? They were pre-sin. They were on the highest level possible. And God's telling him, take over the world. Okay? And God has two people in front of him, only two people alive. When he tells them, plural, be fruitful and multiply, the obvious assumption is going to be, plural means the two people he's talking to. There's no one else around. It's got to be them. When he's talking to Noach later on, what changed in history? The eating of the tree. And what was she punished with? What you just said, what was she punished with? Womankind, is that a word? Womankind? Womankind were punished. Among the punishment was, they're going to have a difficult time conceiving, labor, birthing,
bearing children.
Women until recently, and including recently, not only in third world countries, even in America, sadly to say, I don't know how often, it might be once a day in all America, there is a woman giving birth who doesn't make it. It's more common than you realize, because you would assume it's never. I personally know a couple of people. Even today with first grade hospitals, healthcare, whatever you're going to say, and Medicaid, I'm not getting involved with politics and medicine. Yes, you're in a foreign country, in a third world country, even more often. But that means the birthing process is a dangerous thing. Even, by the way, something we've discussed many times in the past. Even if someone's 1 out of 1,000 going to die, to the Torah, that's a very serious deal. When the Torah says you have to break Shabbos to save a life, if you were to go into the American Ethical Society, I don't know what the answer is going to be, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, well, Shabbos, if they believe in Shabbos, or it's the biggest thing in the world. When do we get rid of our medical ethics? We'd have to reach a certain threshold to decide, okay, we'll give up our moral standards for the threshold of X. Torah doesn't do this. If a building falls down, and maybe someone was in the building, that's already a big maybe. Good chance no one was in the building. And maybe someone's in the building, he survived the building falling down. That's a lot less percentage right now. It now went from maybe nobody's in the building. Maybe someone's in the building's not Jewish. Maybe the guy didn't survive it. Break Shabbos. Start digging. Which means, in Jewish law, the value of life or the value of the threshold of breaking commandments in order to save a life is not a 100% saving a life. Maybe I'm going to save a life. Maybe there is no life there. It's a minor percentage. When it comes to women passing away in childbirth, thankfully, most women don't hemorrhage. The ones who do hemorrhage are in first-class healthcare facilities. And thankfully, in America, not that many people are dying. But in the Torah world, for sure for the last 5,000 years, and for sure right now, we take that itty-bitty percentage into an equation. And we believe, Rabbi Meshach Chochmah, our Samach says, we know from 1,000 different sources that the Torah, the phrase is darcheh, darcheh noy. It's sweet in its ways. Sweet in its ways means it's here to help us. And when you look at that phrase and apply it in different places, great rabbis come up with brilliant ideas. The Meshach Chochmah says, the reason why God cannot command women to procreate, to have children, because God doesn't command people to do a mitzvah that creates excessive pain and potential death. We have to wait. It cannot create that. So when God was talking to Adam and Eve, and he used plurality, Meshach Chochmah, yes, because Adam and Eve is plural. You know why Adam and Eve right now plural could be un-Eve also? Pre-sin, her birthing process was safe. But post the sin, when the mankind physically changed as well, and God said now the birthing process is going to be dangerous, when God now recommands, he can't command women, because God doesn't do that to women. And this concept of God, and different early commentators, and later comment, apply this concept that the Torah has to be done in a sweet way to different practical laws. We're saying a practical law right now. Women are not obligated because it's impractical because of their health issues. Some say, we discussed this a couple of years ago, why don't we keep 2 days on Sukkot this year for the Shabbos. It was 3 days, no phones. We did it on Simchas Torah because of this whole weird system we have with the calendar. We're not really sure, the old days, the whole thing. How many days of Kippur did we pass this year? Every holiday is two outside of Israel, except for one holiday, Yom Kippur. Why? Obvious answer. Because to demand the population to take a chance and fast for 2 days, that's not sweet. That's not a sweet thing. As well, just did it today with my chavrusa, came up. We have a mitzvah of yibum in the Torah. If a man dies without children, then his widow is to marry the brother. Let's say the brother is unappealing. Whatever reason. Either he's, as I told my students today, either subjectively unappealing or objectively unappealing. If this thing is objectively unappealing. Well, everyone's agreeing on that one. Okay. Too quick to agree on that. For objectively unappealing, what's up? So you know what the Torah says? No, we have a heckish. Two psukim near each other, we don't force the woman to. We don't tell us you got a mitzvah. You got to carry on your ex-husband's name. No, no. Because the mitzvahs are given in a normal, healthy way. Post, this is a good way to start the year. The mitzvahs are not supposed to be given in a detrimental way. In fact, the famous story of Moshe Feinstein, he used to say that when people were giving up early 1920s and 30s in America, with no five-day work week, with no pension plans, with no Social Security. And people every Friday were going to work and then going home because the boss said, come in tomorrow, don't come back on Monday. There were two types of people went home. A bunch of clients, it famously said. Some come home and say, look what I did for Judaism. And some came home and said, listen, I had to do it for Judaism. But the negativity or the positivity was on their children. The ones who were positive, look what I could do, look what I do. The kids were like, yeah, we'll do the same thing. The ones like, ah, tough, but I did it. Well, I didn't want to do it, but I got to do it. Their kids lost that energy to do it. That's where Moshe Feinstein up and at. The point is, we have to look at mitzvahs and we have to assume that mitzvahs are given in a positive way to us. So one of the ways it's given positive is that we have right in front of us potential to be sukkim, and that means even though the verse to Adam and the verse to Noach are almost the same exact words, plural, plural, by Adam you're forced to say it's man or female. By Noach, you don't say it's man or female because there are three boys with him. So now when we go back to the pasuk in this week's parsha and we're reading this pasuk, first you have to know this. It says God bless them, and then it says seven pesukim later, be fruitful and multiply. God bless them. Okay, we're going to say that that's really a blessing. That is not an obligation. A blessing. Later on, when Rashi says it's an obligation, it becomes a debate. Debate ends early commentators, which moves back to the Mishnah tomorrow. But one thing for sure, if it's a debate and it's plural, so how do we have women or not women? Yeah, because that was spoken to the men only. Because later on, there were more men available. In the originality, it was only a man and a woman. So to get rid of the woman, you got to come on to a thing of talking about conquering the land that excludes women. Are we following this? There's a lot to go with it. Now, what's fascinating is in the Gemara in Yavamas, which only the Mishnah is mainly discussing the concept of the Pasuk in Adam, doesn't mention Noach at all. No Noach. It's amazing. The whole Gemara, it's amazing. You can read this Rashi and read this Gemara and say, what's something going on here? So this Mishnah and Gemara in Yavamas, we said there were two explanations to why women are not obligated. Two sources. The one guy gave a source. The one who said women are obligated said, I have a source. Other than plural. The one who said it, women are not in the Mishnah, he didn't say a source. We said, what's a source? We gave two approaches. One was that we limited them because of conquering. What was the second one? Because later on by Jacob, it said it singularly. That's the Gemara. Singular later on by Jacob. Places right away ask Kosh, wait a second. Mr. Rabbi, who's explaining that women are not obligated because of Jacob, but earlier it said plural by Adam. Remember, Noach with the they're not mentioned Noach. This Gemara doesn't mention Noach at all. The first rabbi said prove by Adam. The second rabbi said prove by Adam, but I have an exclusion of war. The next one said, no, I'm talking about Yaakov. Okay, Mr. Yaakov, what about the pasuk by Adam? One line Tosfos. Adam already spoke to Adam. What do you? So Adam is plural and Yaakov is singular. Okay, so now why are you picking one over the other? So he says, I'll tell you what. Because Adam is a blessing also. That means if you're going to learn it from Jacob, you got to go back and say, Noach's a blessing and Adam's a blessing. But the question that they all ask the later commentators are, Tosfos also ignored Noach. That means like this. When you're reading this Gemara, look at my Noach don't exist. We're debating what Adam is based on the conquering, and we have a Yaakov. So he says, of course, Yaakov, what are you doing with Adam? Oh, very good. Adam's going to be a blessing. The later commentators say, listen, that's great. When you're holding one page and you're focused in on the words in front of you, good answer. We got a problem. We got another Gemara. We got a Rashi that says there's a whole other pasuk potential. So they're asking like this, Tosfos. The guy who learns from Yaakov, singular, either pasuk is plural by Adam, blessing. What are the pasuk plural by Noach? You're going to have to say blessing again? Maybe. But in the essence, we're going to stop here. In the essence, we have a very, what looks like a one-word Rashi, if you're reading quickly, quoting two Gemaras, realize that we have a Mishnah Gemara saying the opposite. We got to stop playing tic-tac-toe and figure out what everyone does, what everyone else is talking, and realize that a lot of people are only representing part of the equation and missing out on another part of the equation. Point of starting a brand new year, a brand new year. So hopefully God will bless us all. Amen. Hopefully we'll realize we're getting better every year and we should start learning at a deeper level every year, because we can't be learning Gemara at, look around this room, average age 35 like we were when we were five. Michael, thanks a lot.